I have two trumpet players in the room, and we were just discussing we should have created a fanfare for Symphony Week, but we'll just launch right on into it. Jeff Bumsall, the executive director of the Spokane Symphony, good morning and welcome.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll briefly allude to the fact that the trumpet was your way into this whole wonderful world of classical music.
It was. It feels like a lifetime ago now, but yes, I'm always happy to think back on those great days of playing lots of good, tough trumpet licks and hopefully making most of them sound okay.
Yeah. And a little bit later in the hour, we'll get to the most recent member of the Spokane Symphony, Megan Gillis, the principal timpanist. And then we'll spend time with the veteran of the symphony, among other adjectives we're going to give to Larry Jess when we talk to him later. But at the beginning of Symphony Week, and we're going to spend each day from now through Friday doing this, it's always time to reassess and to kind of publicly reassess. This is your statement to the community of who the symphony is, what the symphony does, why the symphony exists, and how the symphony intends to answer all those previous questions. And so let's start in on those questions. We often talk about the why, but in a way, the very thing going on right now, that there's bad air outside, but we're inside and we need music, don't we?
We always do. These are good, deep questions, especially for an early Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
You know, these are the things that we consider and contemplate and work on much of the time, of course, interspersed with lots and lots of operational work. We have something like 68 symphony concerts this year and a growing number of Fox activities beyond the symphony. So we're excited. It's going to be a wonderful season. And you did allude to sort of, well, what's the bigger picture? We are busier than we've been in years. Things are looking good. You know, orchestras always rely on a number of different revenue streams to make the thing work. We always seem to be really good at spending, you know, about $5 million a year. And then the question is, well, how is it coming in? And the answer is we're working really, I think, thoughtfully on a number of different pathways there. Earned revenue, of course, ticket sales is a significant path. People often talk about the fact that ticket sales don't cover all of our costs, and that is true. They do not. But they still do generate quite a bit. And so we're happy to see that actually those numbers are up. And I know we'll talk a little bit later about some of the more peripheral product lines that we're offering beyond the classics and the pops, and so happy to see that there is an appetite. People are really excited about what we're offering, and that it just makes me very, very happy to see that the phones are ringing and we're getting emails, and our social media activity is way up in this past few months and year. You know, I've been here just about a year, just a little bit more than a year, and man, it's been a busy year. I can't believe it's been a year since I was here last, and we were talking about these things in a sort of a looking forward, a potential sense of, well, what's the plan? What do you want to get done? Looking back here, I think we've really accomplished a lot.
So you've had a year to just walk, be around town, and walk into a room, and people say, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And you say, "I work for the Spokane Symphony." How do people react? What comes over their faces when you say that?
Yeah, I love that question. So it's always a little bit of an interesting experiment, and I try to just go along with it. So often people do say, you know, "What do you do?" or "What brought you to town?" I work for the symphony, and then they often say, "Well, what do you play?" And I say, "Well." And then it depends on the person. You know, I either play manager or I play with lots of spreadsheets. But of course the answer is I love being involved in the central thought process and helping define our future. You know, people are very receptive. People love this orchestra, and that makes it such a pleasure to be here. People do know about the Spokane Symphony, and they do know about the Fox Theater. And usually they're able to pull up some little anecdote of their past, if they went to a concert or their parents always went or something. So that's great to be able to draw on that history. And of course, then the opportunity is to create those new memories going forward for them now in the present and the future for themselves or their kids or their neighbors. You know, to tie it to like yesterday's concert, Comstock, I think that's such a great opportunity that we have to get in front of lots of people. I estimate there was probably about 5,000 yesterday. It's hard to know exactly, yeah. but since it's not
but,
a ticket
But even
event,
with the air quality, they were there. The people were there to hear it.
Yeah, and you know, let's talk about that. Yes, people did come out. I was there. I think I got there around 1:30 or something for a 6 o'clock concert to just assess the situation. The smoke was a little bit less pronounced at the park than it was, I think, other places in the city. So there was lots of back and forth about, you know, what's the right thing to do? It's my job is to do the right thing for the organization and for the community. And in the end, we decided let's truncate the concert. We'll shorten it up a little bit. We did it without an intermission. And of course, we don't want to put any musicians at risk. If anybody has, you know, a respiratory sensitivity or something, I mean, I don't want to put them in a position of being put out. But at the same time, all these people were showing up, and we felt we could pull out, you know, a shortened concert. And I think people were happy about that. I was interested to see that actually after the concert concluded, people did stick around for a little while. So it's not that they all had to, you know, flee back to their homes and to their cars right away. So, you know, it was a great way to start the season. We love those parks concerts because they are so they're such a democratic process. You know, anybody can come who wants to. And the way we structured the programming was a little bit of a preview concert, so people could get a little taste of what's to come. And we have some great things coming up this year. Mm-hmm. So it was a success.
There's a by nature a symphony orchestra playing great works of the past has a certain built-in inertia, a certain we have always done it this way, a certain a lot of tradition and everything mm-hmm. else in that. How do you take on innovation? What's the process? What's the thought process, the evaluation process? Because you have to be willing to try things that might work, might fail, right?
Yep, it's a great question. So, I mean, we are really, I would say, pioneering not only programming but institutional process, where we are creating new content, I think, more readily, more regularly, and more rapidly than maybe some other orchestras. And we're very lucky to have a staff internally and artistic direction within the orchestra, and the orchestra committee is actually really behind this, and of course our music director Eckert and our other conductors that support this notion of content creation. So as we've talked about this the Harry Potter concerts, or and we have these other couple product lines that we're going to be offering this year, really featuring certain musicians in the orchestra who are curating these products. And you know, it is a little bit risky. We're not sure if everybody is going to fall in love with everything that we do, but I think it is incumbent upon us to take those risks, to be thoughtful about them, and to try out new things, and to keep evaluating very rapidly and fine-tuning what we offer. But, you know, so far the response has been very positive. I think people like the fact that we are not just pulling old stuff out of the drawer all the time. And you know, that's sort of expected from orchestras. I think the word orchestra conjures up certain thoughts for some people. And I want to challenge those thoughts. I think we actually, it's our responsibility to be reflective of the very best values of the community and to keep pushing forward. And, you know, as opportunities for like celebrations, like anniversaries come up, like we have this year and our 75th anniversary of the symphony in a few more years, to really put our best foot forward and to produce new works as much as we can.
Jeff Umsall, the executive director of the Spokane Symphony, I'm spending time with as we're kicking off Symphony Week. Well, let's double down, because it's not the only time we'll talk about them, but on the new things that you're going to try out this year.
Yeah. So two new programs, I call them product lines, that's sort of internal lingo. One will be reflective of music that is not new. We have a Baroque series, and so we felt that, you know, there's an untapped potential, and some of our more core audience, just they keep saying this, you know, we should do these Baroque concerts. So we're going to try them. It's going to give an opportunity to get out of the fox and go to some new places. And I think to really showcase our musicians in a way that is a little bit different. It is very unique. We were just talking about a recording that we're all fond of here, of some Gabrielli performed by brass sections of orchestras in the past. And man, that is some of the most, for me anyway, the most beautiful music. And it's not easy, right? And it has to be really done precisely. And I think for our audiences, whether core audiences, subscribers, or people who may be more new to orchestra world, it is riveting, and it is powerful, and the thoughts of the composers come through, and then the way that the musicians interpret it, I think it's very powerful, and it leaves you just, I think, wanting more.
And how many are you doing?
We're going to do two of those. And we can look up the schedule in a minute. Mm-hmm. So we have two of those, and then the other new series is a little different, and it's still a work in progress. It's called the M Show. It's being curated by our concertmaster Mateusz Walski, and he's really excited about it. It's going to combine a number of different elements, certainly live music, also some pre-recorded elements that we'll demonstrate and showcase during the performance. And it's going to also be a little bit like a talk show. So there'll be some comedic elements, maybe references to current events. It is new. I don't know that there's anything quite like this out there in the orchestra world.
Well, yeah, because it's one thing to go to a convention and copy somebody else's idea, but this is unique, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, it is. And so it's one of these things that's an amazing opportunity. And as we've learned in our terrain collaborations, putting together something new that's good, man, it takes a lot of thinking, a lot of effort, and a willingness to put 100 ideas up on the table and probably take them, 96 of them back down because they just don't quite cut it. And then you end up with some really great stuff. Mm-hmm. So we are in that mode right now of sort of pre-production, designing and architecting what it should feel like, and then beginning to source materials. Mm-hmm. So that will be, the first one will be in January.
But you have a great center for that because Mateusz is so brilliant and so broad, and talk a little bit more about many qualities that people don't know.
Yeah, and I think this is, it gives me goosebumps to think that this is what makes this organization so great. The institution itself is so solid. We're in our 72nd season, the Spokane Symphony, and we are incredibly proud of our rich heritage and tradition. But we're not resting on our laurels, and we have just an enormously talented and diverse set of talent within the orchestra. I would add the staff and the board and the volunteers and the chorale. I mean, it's just an amazing army of folks who are really impressive at what they do. But focusing on the orchestra, I think some people view the orchestra as a sort of a sea of anonymous beings. And of course, that is really not true. Each one of our musicians draws on an incredible education and set of experiences. Even just in this room, I think we have such an interesting combination of those that we're going to hear a little bit more about today. But in terms of Mateusz, he's so great as a concertmaster because he is very talented as a musician. He's always on. And he's a personality. I mean, he's kind of a funny guy, and you get to know him, and you think, well, there's more there. He's not just, playing his notes in tune. So this is going to be a lot of fun for the audiences and our public to get to know him as a person. And this sort of cast of characters that we have that we're building, and you never know what's going to be next, but I can guarantee you it's going to be wonderful. It'll be great, high quality, and it will be really compelling in a new and very inviting way.
And then collaborations.
Yes, so we had the collaboration with Terrain for the past few years. We love working with them. This year we have two new collaborations we've worked with in the past. The Coeur d'Alene Opera, we're going to be doing Carmen nearer the end of this month, the 22nd and 23rd. Semi-staged, but pretty full production. I mean, it's the full opera. It's not just the suite. It's going to be wonderful. For anybody who's sort of curious about opera, this is the one to go to. It is recognizable. And we had programmed for the Parks Concerts elements of Carmen. And then later in the season, in April of 2018, celebrating the 100th anniversary of Bernstein's birth, we're going to be doing West Side Story with the Civic Theater. Mm. And boy, both of those, I feel they're going to be great. Frankly, I don't know how we're going to top it next year, but we will. We'll figure out a way. Mm.
Yeah, Jeff Umsell, the executive director of the symphony. And so those are all of the, those are many of the new things, the things around the edges of all of the pieces being played this year. What's one or two that you're personally really looking forward to encountering?
Oh, my goodness.
I know that's a hard choice.
You're going to make me get out the brochure and have to look. Yeah. I love Scheherazade. I think it's a wonderful, very programmatic piece. It's going to be a little bit later this fall. I think the evening with Thomas Hampson is going to be really special. Thomas Hampson, of course, is a Spokane native and has gone on to real fame and glory as one of the Metropolitan Opera's biggest stars. So he'll be back in early November, or November 4th and 5th will be those concerts on a Classics weekend, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Fox. You know, I love to see families of multiple generations come together. So, you know, we have done these Star Wars concerts in the past and the Harry Potter, and they're different. I mean, you know, I love huge orchestral works. In the office, people are always joking about that. I have my favorites. But being able to see grandkids and parents and the grandparents and the neighbor from down the street all come together to see a concert, maybe that's the first time that some of them have been in the Fox, and to know that nobody is going to leave empty-handed emotionally or experientially, that everybody's going to have just an amazing time. I love that. I just think that that is us, in a way, doing our best, really giving people celebratory experiences, palpable, and opening the door for them to come back, I hope, really again soon.
And many of the aspects of the Spokane Symphony will amplify some of those as the week goes by, and we'll bring in some more also as the week goes by. So thanks for coming by, Jeff.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.